This headline infuriates me. Hilary Duff's husband gets intimate tattoo of her name. Not on a Tuesday.
How does that infuriate you? It's his wife.
Nah.
Like, it's fine. Quite cute.
There's no more of a beta cuck move than getting your wife's name tattooed. You never guess where. His buttocks.
Oh, that's cute. Peachy.
Oh, come on.
Look, there's Hillary's name.
Hilary Duff's husband has shared a rather intimate new tattoo with the world. His wife's name written across his left butt cheek. It's not a powerful tattoo. It's in Victorian modern cursive. Rumour has it that Hillary even wrote it herself and then gave it to the tattoo artist for him to stencil over. So it's all Hillary in his butt. Good luck winning a fight with your wife when her name's tattooed on your butt cheek, he captured the picture. This guy's so under the thumb, prompting this reaction from Duff in the comments. Finest, tiniest booty around. Hashtag you stuck now, boy.
He is. It's, you know, their husband and wife, and now he's got the tat to go with.
You see so many pathetic husbands that don't say a word at a dinner party, and they're like, their alpha wife is just stomping all over them, calling the shots, letting him know how many beers they're allowed to drink that night, letting him know what needs to be bought at the store, sending them around, doing all odd jobs, tattooing their names all over the butt cheeks.
No, he's doing it because he loves her.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd be a bit nervous because Duff's already got one divorce under her belt. And these guys, and Duff has said this on the talk in 2017 on live television, that they have split up and reunited four times.
You are just skeptical of love.
I am skeptical of permanent tats with impermanent women. Is what I'm skeptical of.
They are married, Lakey. It's permanent.
Look, you always have to have a plan for the disaster scenario. That's why we do fire drills. That's why we do test runs for certain situations. Hilary Duff's husband needs to think, what happens if they break up one day? What's going to happen to the Hillary tattoo on his ass cheek?
Well, like, is he going to make it into something else or cover it with something?
What? A couple of options. Couple of options. I mean, I could list off a handful right now. You'd look at removing the tattoo straight after the divorce. I hear that hurts a lot. Maybe you change it to a different name. Can you add something on to Hillary at the end? Not a very malleable name.
He could be a Hillary Clinton fan.
Could be. He could go Clinton at the end of it, or it could go Hillary 2028 or something along those lines.
Yeah, perfect.
Well, that's not a bad plan. Plan A. He could tattoo straight over the top of it. Maybe a nice signet or a swan. Over the top. He could only date people who are called Hillary from now on. I mean, that would be an extreme one.
Well, then they'd probably think stage five clinger, you know,
maybe.
Straight away getting tattoo of them on their bum.
Or does he leave it? I mean, I don't know. I'm a clean skin and I've never been in love, but I know one thing on 133353. There would be people out there who have had the love of their lives tattooed on them in their name and then have broke up. And that's what I want to know on 133353.
What happened when you broke up with a tattoo name?
133353, what happened once you broke up with a tattooed name? Did you just keep it? Is it no big deal? Am I overreacting? Is it a storm in a teacup sort of situation? 133353, when you broke up with a tattoo name?
I used to live with a boy who had his girlfriend at the time, a heart on his arm with her name in it.
Well, there you go.
And when they broke up, he just put a big old arrow through it. Not like a love arrow, like a you're gone arrow.
And now he's got a nice old heartbreak tattoo there. Smart from the boy. Real smart. What did you do the tattoo once you broke up with a name? There's numerous ways you can skin this cat. Get some calls on next.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
Have you had a tattoo of someone's name? Someone you loved, and then you broke up.
What happened when you broke up with a tattoo name?
I worry for Hilary Duff's husband, Matthew Comer, who's got an intimate tattoo reading Hillary across his left butt cheek. Now I get it. He's smitten with his wife. He's bagged himself a hottie. Nice. But they've already broken up three times before. Who says fourth time won't be a charm? All of a sudden, she lives forever. Then we've got single old Matthew over here with Hillary tattooed on his butt cheek, and no other girl in the world's going to want to sleep with him unless they're also called Hillary. It's madness. 133353. Have you had a tattoo of someone and then broke up with them? John on Triple M. Hello.
How you going, mate?
Yeah, good. You sound like a guy who'd rush into an irresponsible decision.
Oh, you're telling me.
What happened?
So, anyway, I was with this girl. Anyway, she decided that she wanted me to get a tattoo on my behind, I guess. Anyway, I thought, oh, well, I'll get it. Anyway, so I got her name on me behind and I haven't got rid of it since. And every girl that I've been with since thinks it's a great laugh.
Oh, well, that's good. At least the girls are showing a bit of humour in the situation.
I can't imagine all girls would find that very funny.
Well, I think girls will find it funny on the first date. And the more dates John goes on with this girl, the more it may start to wear her down. Is this correct? Have you seen this fluctuation, John?
Yeah, I don't get many second dates.
Okay. It's a classic when at the beginning the girl goes, oh, my God, it's so funny. I'm so chilled about it. And in 3 months' time, if you don't get rid of that, we're over.
It sounds very one-night stand to me. Bit of fun. Oh, yeah, had fun with John. Oh, yeah, no, wouldn't want to marry him, though. So he's still got his ex-missus. Are you thinking about lasering it off or that's there for life now?
No, I don't know. I don't know if I get a tattoo over it, you know, a fish or a deer or something like that. But yeah. I wouldn't
go those two options, but yeah, have a bit more of a think about it. That'd be good.
Love the fish.
Thanks, Johnny. Ben in Sydney, 133353. You're a tattooist.
Yeah, I was in a former life, not anymore.
Mm-hmm. What? And do you see this sort of stuff,
mate? Yeah, I do all the time. Long story short, my brother owned the studio I was working at, and he did the tattoo of my girlfriend's name on my chest. And he told me during it, he says, you know this is a cover-up in progress, right?
Oh, yeah. So I think there's a tattooist's responsibility to talk through this. It's like they're not allowed to tattoo anyone who's had too many drinks. They're not allowed to tattoo people who are underage. If someone comes in and says, I want my wife's name across the chest, the tattoo has the responsibility. And say, so, mate, have you thought about this?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then I remember I actually went back to him when we broke up. I got the cover-up done by him, and he was laughing. Yeah. He's nearly crying as he was doing it. He thought it was so hilarious.
Yeah, no, it's the only thing that is funny about a divorce or a breakup is that if someone has made that decision, this one's different, man. She's a keeper. This one's for life. Yeah. You look, nothing's going to last longer than this ink in our relationship. Absolutely. 6 months down the track. All right. What'd you get over the top of it?
A big lion's head. Because as a tattooist, you may not know, the only thing that's going to cover black is more black. So you've got to go bigger, thicker, darker, heavier to cover it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm fairly well covered, so it wasn't really a problem.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, big lion's head on the chest.
Big, thick, black old lion's head. Maybe that's one for John as well. He was thinking the old goldfish or something. Melinda, hello.
Hello.
Hello, Melinda.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, we're getting you loud and clear, Major Tom. What happened?
I got married and then I got a name on my ex-husband's initials. And then over the last year, we split up. And then I got it covered up with two lovebirds.
Yeah, nice.
A lovebird with two birds.
Well, what were the initials? Because not every initial is going to provide a flexibility of a couple of lovebirds.
R-C.
Yeah, well, you're lucky. Consider yourself lucky because there's a few curves in those initials so that it's easily transferable onto some sort of sweet animal. But if you're married to someone with like a HW initials, all of a sudden it's not gonna fly as much. So take that as a warning.
Yep.
Yes, sir. There's a Qantas flight that sold out in minutes. You'll never guess where it was going next. Nowhere.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
How's that Qantas flight to nowhere that got booked out within minutes? People have been going nuts for this. I've seen it happen in other countries. I thought, oh, Australia's not going to be doing that. offering some 7-hour flight to nowhere where you board the plane, they fly you around in the sky for a little bit, then you land exactly where you took off from. People aren't going to be buying that mumbo jumbo.
How is that appealing for anyone? Like, I totally get it. You're like, woo, we're going on a plane, we're going to Europe or whatever, but you're literally just flying around and getting some average meal and then your skin gets a bit dehydrated, your legs are a bit sore, and then you land again.
Yep, you're in a big metal fart tube in the air, just asking for trouble, and then you are no closer to your desired destination once you get off the plane. It's flying is exciting, don't get me wrong, but you're right. Part of the appeal and pretty much the whole thing that makes any of the mundane exciting is knowing that there's this cool prize holiday at the end of it.
A new destination. You're not just returning home. Hi, guys, I'm back after 7 hours.
Well, our own Aussie airline, Qantas, recently announced its plan for a 7-hour scenic flight to nowhere, with the flight to nowhere serving the purpose of taking passengers on a journey without really reaching any destination. In a social media post, Qantas announced that it would depart Sydney with the Great Southern Land Scenic Flight, featuring low-level flybys by some of Australia's most iconic landmarks. Uluru, okay. Carditjuta, okay. Whitsundays, all right. Byron Bay, okay. Gold Coast, all right. You've lost me at Gold Coast. And Sydney Harbour. Be quick. Fares go on sale 12 p.m. Eastern today. Was what was said a few days ago. So don't go rushing out. It's already sold out. It's 134 tickets spanning business class, premium economy, ranging from $787, that was the cheapest seat, to $3,787. Booked down in 10 minutes.
What? Are you joking?
Booked down in 10 minutes.
Who is spending that kind of money on a one-way flight to the same place?
They reckon it's made it the fastest selling flight in Qantas history. Unbelievable scenes. And we've actually got some of the audio for just as the plane was about to take off. Have a listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Please make sure your seatbelts are fastened and your tray tables are stowed away. Estimated flight time today from Sydney to Sydney is 7 hours and 10 minutes. Shortly after takeoff, those on the left will have views of the remarkable Bondi Beach, whereas those on the right can marvel at the architectural wonder that is the Sydney Opera House. We'll also be passing through the Northern Territory, and those on the left-hand side of the plane will see Ayers Rock, whilst those on the right will see the marvellous Kakadu National Park. And nearing our descent, a little later on, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be flying over the Gold Coast, and those on the left will be treated to a nightclub owner snorting cocaine off a meter maid's tits, and on the right, two schoolies having sex behind a bin. Thank you for flying Qantas, the Spirit of Australia.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M. Healthy Tuesdays.
Therefore, the health hacker, Adam McDougall, joins us again. Good evening, health hacker.
Good evening, my friend. How are we?
You mad dog. You mad dog. Knowing everything about everything, health and fitness. You mad, mad dog. you know what? A lot of Triple M listeners, they love a drink, mad dog. They love a drink, but they also like to try and be as healthy as possible. Is there some sort of tightrope that the Triple M listeners can walk whilst being healthy and fit, whilst also maintaining their alcoholic lifestyle?
There certainly is. It's good news I'm delivering tonight, because what is health? You know, health isn't just about whether or not you've got a six-pack or how good you look at the beach. I often giggle to myself when I see these guys in the gym sweating it out in winter, you know, starving themselves so they can take their shirt off for 10 minutes and look good at the beach. But health isn't just about what you look like, as we all know. It's about mental health, and it's about happiness, more importantly than anything. And it's all in the dose, my friend. And there are certain alcohols which are better than others as well.
So when you say certain alcohols that are better than others, are we talking in, say, a calorie perspective, or are there generally alcohols that have less of an effect on the body than others?
Great question. So, you know, we all know that the best way to lose weight is making sure you consume less calories than you burn throughout the day. So a Big Mac, for example, has got roughly 560 calories in it. A bottle of wine, which most good drinkers can knock off pretty comfortably, will have around about 600 calories in it. So you've actually got more calories in a bottle of wine than you do a Big Mac. But red wine actually helps with gut bacteria as well, lowers cholesterol. So, you know, there's a lot of benefits around alcohol on a health basis, but once again, it's on the dose, and don't just focus on the calories.
Well, it's interesting that the narratives that sort of run parallel to these alcohols, because you always, you see that joke, oh,
you know, nothing tastes as good as skinny feels. That's why I'll be on the gin and sodas tonight, or the vodka lime sodas. I'm on a bit of a diet. It's okay. Empty calories. Lol, girls. And then on the other side, there's like the beers. There's like, oh, God, beer belly, beer gut. You having all those beers, are you, mate? I thought you were on a diet. Can't be having beers. Then wine is like this weird middle ground, right? Because it does. It gets all this positive press all the time. Not a week goes by where there's no, oh, two glasses of wine helps for heart health, or, oh, your hair grows longer if you have five glasses of white wine every day. But you'd never hear that bottle of wine, same amount of calories as a Big Mac. It's sort of getting away scot-free, it sounds like.
It is, and like I alluded to it before, the real poison is the alcohol itself. So what happens when our bodies ingest alcohol? It is literally treated as poison. So, you know, your body, you know, can't use the calories in alcohol. So for 1 gram of carbohydrates, which you consume, say for a piece of bread, it's got 20 grams of carbohydrates in it. That's, you know, essentially 80 calories. Alcohol, you know, has got 7 grams of calories per 1 gram. So, you know, if you ingest 20, you know, grams of alcohol, you're actually, you know, ingesting twice as many calories as you would from a piece of bread. So alcohol is very high in calories, but the problem is our bodies have to detoxify the alcohol because it's seen as a poison by the body. So therefore, other things which go on the body get put on hold. The brakes are put on your body's ability to burn fat, your body's ability to stay healthy and keep the metabolism churning over because it's trying to remove the alcohol out of the body's system because it's a poison. So your body basically goes into fat storage mode when you've consumed alcohol as well. So that doner kebab at 3 a.m. in the morning, unfortunately, is going to get stored around the hips.
Yeah. Let me play the role of body conscious Brian for half a second, health hacker. And body conscious Brian will be asking you a question and you need to answer body conscious Brian very truthfully.
G'day, health hacker. My muscles pop out of my singlet and I compete in bodybuilding comps all the time. However, I'm also very body conscious and never tell anyone. If I could only drink one alcoholic drink for the rest of my life, should it just be straight shots of vodka?
I would go a straight hard liquor for sure, my friend. Definitely.
Thank you.
And make sure it's not a mix-up. Whatever it is, no mix-up. Because like tequila, for example, only got 69 calories, it has no carbs, and in actual fact, it can actually lower your blood sugar levels. And we now know that, you know, spiking your blood sugar levels is not only one of the worst things for your waistline, but also for your health in general. So I'd pick tequila or give the Rocks vodka a try as well.
Thanks, bros. I'm off to the gym now to lift some more weights for my biceps and look at my tiny penis. Cheers.
Well, very helpful information for those who want to teeter on the line and try and be as healthy as possible, but not miss out on those sweet, sweet bevvies on the weekend as well. Health Hacker, pleasure as always. You can hack your health on the Healthy Hacker podcast, how to hack our lives and feel and look and live better. See you next week, Mad Dog.
See you, my friend. Have a great week.
The Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
But right now, I've got a slug problem. Unsure if it's a singular slug problem or a multiple slug issue. There's really no way of telling, as far as I'm concerned, with the information I have and my lackluster knowledge of the slug creature, whether I'm dealing with one, two, or three slugs. Let me tell you the slug scenario, Shuey Louie. I'll give you the slug rundown, the sluggy situation. So this time last Wednesday, I get home from work and I have myself a nice protein shake in the kitchenette area. And I go to grab my protein cup. And on the bottom of the cup, my pinky feels this really slippery, slimy, sluggish sort of thing. Yeah. And I've basically squeezed this slug against my protein cup. I jumped. Slug. I find slugs quite gross.
They're heinous. Anyway, yeah, slimy little nukes.
Yeah, there it was, weaseling around on my protein cup. And I look around and I've got like quite a lot of protein powder, like dusting, like on the countertop because I don't wipe it down.
Slug's bulking.
Well, you can see where it's gone. It's been slugging itself through the protein powder, so I can see the full line.
Oh, imagine if it's been rolling around in the like protein actual container.
Well, it's not in the pot because I closed back up the pot, but he was having a whale of the time on the protein dust on the kitchen top, and I can see his little trail.
Just lifting.
He was doing laps. Like, he's been lapping it up, and I could see like his trail, like a little wet trail. He's come from the door up the wall, onto the kitchenette, through the protein powder, onto the protein cup. God knows what his next move was going to be.
Straight into your gob.
I've grabbed the slug. God, get away. And I just tossed him outside. I thought, all right, find a new life now, slug. Like, me and you are over. Not lying. Swear on my mum's life. Same time next night, a slug, and I'm not sure if it's the same slug or a different slug, on the kitchen counter again, on the kitchenette.
You've got a slug romance.
Slightly bigger slug. Now, is this because it has bulked up with the protein powder? 100%.
The protein powder's done its magic overnight.
He's got some sweet gains.
The slug's not used to having that much protein. Right. Bam, he's gains. He's done squats.
You think it's night one with shredding slug, night two, the bulked up slug.
Yep.
He's literally the same spot, same time. It was so bizarre. I was like, oh, God's sake. All right.
He's had a fix of the protein. He can't get enough.
This time I picked up the slug with a serviette and I tossed the slug over my fence. I am not joking when I say that last night when I got home from work, there was a slug on my kitchenette rolling around in protein powder yet again, slightly bigger than the second slug.
You know it's him. He's coming back to haunt you. He's taking you on.
Well, the thing is, I was like, the distance adds up. I threw him outside about a meter away from the door. It's taken him 24 hours to get back there. I've thrown him over the fence 3 days ago. It's taken him 72 hours to get back there. Like, I don't know.
Slug is haunting you.
Well, does the slug have a little family in the house?
Maybe the slug's getting the protein, like having a lot of it in his mouth, going back to his family, feeding them, and then coming back for more.
You think it's the same slug?
100%. You got a slug romance.
I think it's a single
admirer.
Slug. Yeah, it doesn't sound like a triple slugger, does it? I wish I knew more about the slug life, to be honest. Nevertheless, I'll keep you posted to see if there's a nightfall with old Slugworth. Dr. Zach is calling in next.